night. So yeah, Kara asked me with plenty of time to come talk to you guys, which all like months ago was really fine until Christmas actually is here, and then I'm like, oh my goodness. So I love raise your hand if you are done with Christmas. Like everything is done. So you can feel unjoyful towards you.
Oh, like done? Like I'm done?
No, no, no. Like there is not another gift to wrap. You are you've completed.
Wow.
Okay. Very impressive. Yeah. Kara had told me a while ago, and I have been preparing. I could probably talk to you for like 4 hours. I will try not to do that. There is a lot that the Bible has to say about joy, it turns out. And over Christmas, I thought, oh, okay, well, this will be easy-ish, make it something holiday-focused. But there are over 400 verses about joy in the Bible, so I'm going to read every single one of them tonight. Just kidding. I'm also kidding. I really thought an app actually told me that there were some 400 verses, and I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to look up all of them. But I did a lot, so... I would be remiss to not. I actually haven't read a ton of C.S. Lewis, which is awful to be in the, program. I would be remiss to not include a quote. Joy is the serious business of heaven. So that's what I really just want to talk to you guys tonight about. So to start, what is the difference? And I know, like, joy is a very, it's one of those topics like grace. Like, okay, we all know it, but what does it really mean? How is it applicable? What are we going to learn about tonight that I haven't heard already? And I can't promise you any of that, but let's talk about what's the difference between happiness and joy. Just sort of tell me, like, what the definition of each one is, or what you think of when you hear each word, the difference between the two. Feel free to just shout them out.
Joy does not depend on your circumstances.
Okay.
Happiness is temporary.
Okay. Anything else? Temporary, not just joy is independent of circumstances. Happiness is temporary.
I think, like, joy is that next level up. You know, when you're happy, you can be happy, but not joy. Joy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit deeper or higher.
Deeper and higher.
I feel like joy is more soulful. Like
soulful?
Jesus. Yeah, that's how. There's some part of God I haven't accessed if I'm in a tough spot.
Yeah.
And I can see someone who's like lost their husband, you know, or didn't get the adoption, somehow still finds joy in Christ.
Yeah.
Like it kind of blows my mind. And then I'm like, oh, there's a part of God that I obviously haven't tapped into if I don't think to that level of joy. You know, he says it's temporary, all of our bounds are in him. But I'm like, oh, that shows me the joy of other people shows me what I can.
Happiness. Oh, how do I do this again? Okay. Definition of happiness. Experiencing pleasure, satisfaction, delight, feeling that one's needs or desires have been met. The definition of joy is an emotion evoked by well-being, success, good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. So, you guys did it, right? Like, I'm sorry if you can't. Happiness is mostly external, based on circumstances. It's a feeling or an emotion. It's a result of something. and it has a present tense feeling to it, where present tense focus on it. Whereas joy is largely internal, independent of circumstances. It is a belief or an attitude, but it can also be a feeling or an emotion. Christmas lights bring me joy. And I would say, okay, really, it's probably happiness, but we use this to kind of say it's a deeper level than just something like that just brings us a regular happiness. So it's also the experience in anticipation of something, and it's present tense, or it can be experienced present tense, but it's future oriented. So I think that we tend to use these words like just casually, interchangeably a lot. And also, we all know non-Christian people that are joyful people. They are they're not just happy, but they have something kind of deeper inside of them. We tend to take that and say, okay, but they don't have biblical joy. So what I want to do tonight is really look at what biblical joy is, kind of this idea of, because non-Christian people, I mean, we can have joy. People can have this type of joy, but they can't have biblical joy unless it's given to them by the Spirit. So let me see if I'm... Okay, so biblical joy. It's the result of God's work in us. The word in Hebrew, so Old Testament, is the simcha, and it is joy, blessed, fortunate. I'm not a Greek or a Hebrew scholar, I'm not an old language scholar, but from what I had read, it is often sometimes translated as blessed or as happy and joyful. So you kind of get that idea of it can be all of them. And in the New Testament, in Greek, it's chara, which is joy, gladness, favron. And this is the part I love, the awareness of God's grace. See, am I?
I'm sorry.
You're fine. Or grace recognized or grace realized. And this is what makes the difference between happiness, joy, and then what biblical joy is, that we have this awareness of even the things that we say make us happy or say make us joyful. It's this understanding that it's like the common grace. There's something good that comes from this. So as Christians, we know we're supposed to be joyful. You guys knew you weren't going to come here tonight and not hear Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again and again.
Okay, good. But I'm not always joyful, right? I mean, I don't know. You guys might be, but... all four of my kids are in school now. They go to public school. I can't believe it. So since September, I've had this chunk of time. Now we have like a rolling morning because I have a middle schooler, and she comes in a short afternoon because she comes home early and the little guys go late. But I still have this chunk of time, right? And somehow I filled all of this time with things to do that never, ever, ever get done. And so every day at pickup, I'd be picking up, my kindergartner would come out first, I'd wait for the first grader, and then the fifth grader. And our neighbor, just a few doors down, the dad works from home, he's a contractor, and his little guy and my little guy, real good friends. And how you doing, Sonia? And every day, it would be some version of, and I would do it, and I wouldn't, I mean, it wasn't awful, but how are you doing? And I'd be like, I mean, in my head, I'm like, I didn't get everything done that I had to do today. So I'm okay. Things are okay. Ugh. And it wasn't until like the early November where I was like, oh my gosh, what am I showing this man, my neighbor, about the joy in my heart? Because every time he was asking me about how I was, it was like this very, not dramatic, but I mean, it was very like ho-hum, you know, kind of like, oh, I got to pick up my kids. Like, what in the world? When we're so preoccupied with our present tense circumstances, like for me at least, I'm not able to communicate the true joy in my heart that comes from Jesus. So yes, I can put my emotions in context, like I didn't get everything done today, but here we are and something positive, right? We can put our emotions in context instead of letting them define our character. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in a book called Spiritual Depression, it's a real page-turner, says Christian people too often seem to be perpetually in the doldrums and too often give this appearance of unhappiness and lack of freedom and the absence of joy. So why? Why do we have the story of Jesus, yet we still have an absence of joy? Sometimes I think as mothers, honestly, we're just tired. Did you guys do reflecting Jesus through rest?
No, not yet.
But you are doing
oh,
it.
Oh, I know, but that's fantastic. I'll write that down.
Okay. Well, that because I thought maybe you guys had done that. Jesus rested regularly. Jesus retreated regularly. I honestly think that that tiredness and stretchedness has a lot to do with a profound effect on our experience and then expression of joy. I think we're also habitually out of practice, mostly because we're habitually focused on ourselves. I mean, I know I am. I just return to myself and my problems and whatever's going on. I'm focused on the right now, my circumstances and my emotion. I mean, at the core of why we aren't happy, we're not putting God in his proper place. So tonight, I want us to look at biblical joy. Joy that comes from the Lord. We're not just talking about how to be joyful people. We are talking about a joy that we don't will ourselves into. This is something that the Lord does in our heart. So my question for you tonight, if I go too long, just saying, okay, what is your greatest joy? You can doodle or think or daydream about this question. What is your greatest joy? So when I think about my own joy, and I'm thinking even of biblical joy, I think about my children. Yes, they drive me crazy sometimes, but overall, they bring me joy. I love connecting with people. I love my own connections. I love taking someone who has a need and someone who has an excess and putting them together. It's like I swallowed bubbles of joy and they're like popping out of my mouth. Like I just love all of the kind of like connection. But what is my greatest joy? In this room, we all know we are supposed to say God. We know that, right? But practically, this is very hard, and I think it's especially hard this time of year because we're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be spreading tidings of great joy. But there are many of us in this season who are hurting. There are many of us who are lonely. Who are going through grief or an illness or disconnection, discouragement, dysfunction, all the disses. We have very real legitimate reasons to have a heavy heart in this time of year. But joy, joy in the Lord does not negate the truth of our experiences, our emotions, or our circumstances. It's not like we just throw a blanket over what's happening and say, but we're fine. But there's joy in the Lord. The joy in the Lord is possible.